Chapter 4. She a coward. Daddy Long Legs don't want to get stomped. She'd get smoked out there. Nevaeh's pulse throbbed in her temples as she scrolled through the comments from her pew in the back of Holy Faith Church. By Sunday morning, it seemed as though almost everyone at Bluford had something to say. Even strangers and people she didn't know from school were commenting. Not all of them were negative, and some didn't seem to notice Jonique's challenge. A good race. They both fast. Running emoji. Wind emoji. Need a rematch. Nevaeh wanted to reply last night, but after washing the dishes, wiping the counters, and taking out the trash, she added dusting and vacuuming to her chores to stop Mom from working. It seemed her mother's first response to cancer was to clean, as if it could help drive away the disease somehow. "Gotta get these chores done while we can," Mom had declared, stiffly moving from room to room, directing what needed to be done while Dad hovered nearby. "We gotta support her and make sure she doesn't overdo it," Dad explained to Nevaeh a few times, though he too seemed exhausted. After the chores were done, her parents insisted that they spend family time watching TV together, though Nevaeh wanted to flee to her room to check her phone. Mom became worse than Miss Sherman, demanding that Nevaeh shut it off so they could watch some childish movie about a kid with superpowers. Only Christian seemed interested, but Nevaeh didn't dare say that. "It's not going to hurt either of you to unplug for a few hours. Nothing on your devices is more important than family," Mom said. She spoke with such seriousness that Nevaeh knew not to argue, especially not with Dad following her every move. Yet it all felt fake to Nevaeh. They were acting as if everything was normal, just another family night. The reality was that cancer had invaded their home, and everything was suddenly different. Mom was extra bossy. Dad seemed distant and defeated, and no one knew what to do or say or what might happen next. Stuck without her phone for distraction, Nevaeh felt trapped, as if she needed to run but was unable to move. "Put on something nice. Your mother wants us to go to church as a family," Dad declared Sunday morning. An hour later, Nevaeh sat in the pew behind her parents at Holy Faith Church, glancing at her phone during Reverend Mumford's never-ending sermon. She scrolled through her feed, eager to see what she had missed the night before. A split between a popular rapper and her NBA player boyfriend. Everyone seemed to criticize the couple as if they knew them personally. Some people were so mean that Nevaeh skipped their comments, especially in church. A cat with a body camera chasing a dog down the street. A dance move challenge, along with thousands of attempts that were hilariously awful. A post from Classy K about an expensive new line of lipstick. Nevaeh swiped through them all and went back to the video of herself racing Jonique. She watched it again and again. She really had almost beaten her. It seemed even closer than she had realized while she was running it. Nevaeh revisited the comments, too. Jonique's burned in her memory. "Unless you scared." There were new responses. A stranger making fun of her skinny legs. A friend of Jonique's talking about how scared she was. Others saying she'd get beat. One from KareemTheDream345 said, "Three fire emojis. Can we get a rematch?" But beneath them all was a new post from Jonique. "Told y'all she was scared." A fresh wave of anger rose through the floor of the church, making Nevaeh's face burn. Jonique was popular, and she was a champion. Nevaeh knew it made no sense to race her. There was no way she could run that fast, and yet Nevaeh felt a sharp nudge in her side. She looked up to see Christian, who pointed quickly to Dad, who was scowling at her and her phone from his pew. "Put that away." He mouthed the words so clearly that she could hear them in her mind, even though he was silent. Nevaeh shoved her phone in her pocket, struggling to sit still as Reverend Mumford talked about the power of faith. When the congregation rose and began to sing, Nevaeh hastily opened her hymnal and stood up with them. She studied her parents, who seemed too close to her and yet farther away than ever. She expected them to be glaring at her, but they weren't even looking. They were holding hands with tears on their faces. The sight of them hit like a knife to her heart. They seemed like different people from just days ago. So much had changed so quickly. How much more is going to change? Nevaeh wondered. Again, she fought the urge to get away, to bolt out the door, to run. The early summer sun was scorching the streets after church, but Nevaeh didn't care. The sermon, the comments, the cancer articles, Mom and Dad's whispery conversations were all too much. Rushing to her room, Nevaeh threw on some gym clothes, grabbed her Nikes, and headed outside. A hot breeze seemed to call to her and coax her forward. With no goal or destination, she leaned forward. Her shoes dug into the sidewalk as she took her first stride and launched. For a second, she imagined herself on the track again with Jonique, up ahead, taunting her. Coward. The word was like the shot of a starter gun. Nevaeh began to push. Inhale, stride, accelerate. Her muscles answered her command, speeding her body down the street almost effortlessly, as if it were what she was meant to do. She could feel her pulse quicken as the first city block disappeared behind her. Soon, her legs and arms fell into a powerful rhythm. It felt good to move, she realized, to be taken someplace by her body, not her phone.
"Slow down, baby. This is a residential street," someone yelled as she blew by.
"Go get it, girl," said another.
Nevaeh wove through the streets, ignoring the comments, the neighborhood traffic, and the sweat that gathered between her shoulder blades and stung her eyes as it rolled down her face. Dogs barked around her. Car stereos blasted. Sirens howled. Trucks rumbled. The city breathed. Nevaeh ran through it all. Block after block, she dashed through Jonique's meanness, blew past Ms. Sherman's disapproval, her awkwardness with Kareem, and her constant arguments with Mom. Everything suddenly seemed smaller as she ran, melting away with each block she covered. Her heartbeat raced as Nevaeh pushed harder, running to escape something far scarier than Jonique, something that made her want to run away the moment Mom said the word. Cancer. Nevaeh sprinted as fast as she could go, her thighs and calves burning, her arms swinging, her pulse a throbbing drum in her neck and ears. Without thinking, she had made a great looping circle through her neighborhood and approached a familiar sign. Welcome to Bluford High School, home of the Buccaneers. Sweat pouring down, her vision stinging and blurry, her lungs on fire, Nevaeh rocketed onto the empty track and dashed until her legs were weak and rubbery and could go no further. Alone in the long shadows of the late afternoon sun, Nevaeh slowed to a walk at the 400-meter finish line, breathless and disoriented. Mom's cancer was still there. Everything she had run from still existed. But for a time on the run, she had escaped them.
"Where were you?"
Mom asked when Nevaeh returned home, exhausted but strangely calm.
"Your father was looking for you."
"I was out running." Mom's eyes widened as an odd smile lit up her face. Nevaeh could feel her watching as she raced to her bedroom and closed the door. Hours later, while her parents were busy talking about bills, upcoming doctor visits, and work schedules, Nevaeh snuck her phone under the covers so the light could not be seen under her closed door.
"How are we going to pay for this house when I stop working?" Mom was asking. "You know how much this treatment is going to cost?"
"Amaya, we got more important things to worry about now, okay?" Dad answered.
"More important than a roof over our heads?
I'ma work as long as I can."
"But it's your health, baby," Dad kept saying. "We gotta focus on that."
Nevaeh put in her earbuds so she didn't have to listen. Instead, she replayed the video of her race with Jonique. She studied how Jonique's fast start helped her surge to a quick lead and then focused on the transition where she started to gain on her. With her earbuds in, she could hear people in the crowd and even recognize a few voices from class. She turned up the volume and listened to the mix of laughter and cheers for Jonique. Then she heard an exchange.
"That awkward girl is really fast," said someone in the crowd.
"She is. We totally need her on our team next year," came a distinctive reply as the video cut off.
Nevaeh was almost certain it was Malika, the short-distance champion on Bluford's varsity team. She had been there the day of the race. Nevaeh reread the comments again, pulling up the one that bothered her the most, the one she had been itching to answer ever since she had first discovered it. "Name the date, girl, unless you're scared." Nevaeh finally tapped the box to reply. On another day, she probably would have ignored it or blocked it or pretended it was all a joke. She had been doing that all year at Bluford, but something had changed. Nevaeh felt it on her run, and though it made no sense, she couldn't stop herself. Her fingers blurred across the screen as she spelled out a reply. 10 days, 9 a.m., school track, she wrote. Would that be enough time for her to train and practice? She had no idea. Before she could talk herself out of it, Nevaeh took a deep breath and posted her comment. The responses came minutes later.
10 days? What you need 10 days for? She ain't ready, that's why.
The comments kept coming the next morning. By then, Nevaeh discovered she had also gained a bunch of new followers, but she didn't care. Her mind focused on one comment that stood out among all the others. "See you there," Joni Queen 11 had replied. "You gonna get your butt handed to you."
"Ain't no way that's happening," Nevaeh said to herself, gripping her phone. "Ain't no way,"